والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا وعن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من نجاه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمسك عليك لسلك كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praise and all thanks only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who again has given us this beautiful opportunity of the day of Jum'ah, the occasion of Jum'ah. Indeed, this is something that we can't really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So therefore, we should always look for opportunities and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing on this topic that was started last week, the topic of making our houses into beautiful homes, sweet homes, making our houses into places where we can reside happily, and we can make it such that a person is happy to be at home. So there are certain things generally that come to our mind, and certain things that we focus upon when we are building homes, when we are purchasing homes. Sometimes a person may inherit homes, and very rarely a person may even be gifted a home. But what should a person be looking when he's now building a home, he's purchasing a home? He's at that phase of his life. Very often it happens that there are things that we look at and there are things that we just ignore because of the circumstances we find in, and we don't realize that these are really the things that will make our houses into homes. And the things that we focus on are generally the external factors. The external factors meaning we look at the facade, we look at the tiling, we look at the painting, we look at the interior decorating. We look at the presentation of that home, and very often the focus goes away from the ruh, from the internal aspect of what that home or what that house should have. So because of us focusing on these things, we lose the plot. And it happens such that that same house that we thought will bring us happiness, that the same house now is not bringing happiness. We once visited a person in one town, and this person was staying in a very, very palatial home. Extremely palatial home. It had the views that any person could dream of. The ocean views, he had river views from there, he had a swimming pool, he had tennis courts, he had every amenity that a person would think and would like, beautiful gardens, trees, etc. But when we were there with him in his house, he's telling us, you don't know how happy I am to hear voices in my home today. To hear voices in my home, that's a thing that is thrilling me and making me happy. I got this big place that I built up, my children have left me and they're on their own. My wife, now we have been separated. I'm living here all alone. I built this home up, but it has brought absolutely no happiness to me. So one is the focus on the external functions of the house, the external function, and one is the focus on the internal function. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an incident in the Quran, in Surah Saba. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينٍ وَشِمَالٍ كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ رَبِّكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Sabah. Now, just to get an idea of background, they were people that were citizens in Yemen. And it comes in the tafsir that they were, this town that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in this ayah, was about 3 miles from Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen. So there was a town that was called Ma'arib. And this town was almost like a valley. It had mountains on either side. And whenever it would rain, then there would be a deluge in the town because water coming down from the mountains would suddenly flood the area. People that have been to Makkah Sharif, they would have noticed that areas like Mina, etc., when it rains, how quickly it gets flooded because water comes down from the mountain and quickly the valleys get flooded. So very similar to that, when it would rain and a heavy downpour would come, then this Ma'arib, this town, the city would get flooded, there would be a deluge. So what the rulers of that time did was they designed a very beautiful dam. Very well-structured, engineered dam. And this dam was a 3-tier dam. In other words, it had a bottom level with a gate. Then at a slightly higher level, it had another gate. And at the highest level, it had another gate. So when the dam was full, they would open the top gate to allow that water to come out. And when that water was a little bit less, they would open the middle gate. And when the water level was right down, then they would open the bottom gate. And beneath this dam, they had erected another dam. That dam would supply 12 canals. And those canals were designed and engineered to supply the whole city. So they had a very well-designed water structure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that on either side of the town, He had built, Allah Pak had made gardens, beautiful gardens, rows of gardens. And those gardens had such lush fruit, such beautiful fruit, that it is mentioned in the tafsir that if a woman had to walk with an empty basket perched on her head, that she would just have to walk through that garden, and without even using her hands, that basket would get full of fruit. Beautiful fruit. So they had beautiful gardens. And as far as the climatic conditions were concerned, beautiful, pure air. Such pure air that it mentioned in the tafsir that you wouldn't find any flies, you wouldn't find any insects, you wouldn't find any cockroaches, that land type of pest. To such an extent, if somebody coming from out of the town had lice on his hair, then that lice also would die when this person would enter the town because the climate was so pure. And now what had happened is they had also designed canals to take water. They landscaped the mountains to take water to the gardens. So from the dam it would go with the flow and with the gradient of the mountains into the gardens. So they had continuous supply of fruit. They had good, they had beautiful land, they had fertile land. They had everything that you could think of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. So outwardly, when we're looking for homes and we're looking for structures, and nowadays clusters is the in thing or complexes are the in thing, then we generally look at these things to see what the surrounding is like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining what beautiful location they had, what structures they had, what architecture they had. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in these people there is a sign for you. Jannatani ayyamini wa shimal, they had rows of gardens on the right and the left. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, kulu mir rizqi rabbikum washkurula. That enjoy from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties. Washkurula, but be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The internal aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, God. All this external facade, this external architecture, the external beauty, I provided for you. But what you are required to do is, kulu mir rizqi rabbikum washkurula. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful means be grateful at all levels. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to do, be grateful of His ni'mat by obeying His command and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains as far as the geographic location of this town was concerned. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْقُرَى الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا قُرًا ظَاهِرًا وَقَدَّرْنَا فِيهَا السَّيْرِ سِيرُوا فِيهَا لَيَالِيَ وَأَيَّامٍ آمِنِينَ. What beautiful location Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them, that between them and the blessed lands of Sham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created stations. In other words, points where they could stop on their travel. Allah had created these stations at designated places. It made their travel so easy. Traveling on the main road at every small or every given point, just off the main road there was inhabitation, people were staying there. For example, a person left in the morning, he wanted to stop at a point for Zuhr. He could stop for Zuhr, he could have his lunch, and then he could proceed, and he could stop at another town for and rest over, then spend the night there at that town, and then travel. Unlike a person who takes a flight maybe from Australia, and now he's going to Europe, you know what a long flight that is. And that is with plane. Those days they didn't travel by plane, they would travel via animals, etc. So at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we had made the stations of travel so easy for them. So geographically, they had a very, very good place to stay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself describes it, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ. Allah has given you a beautiful city. What we would normally say, mother city. Allah has given you a beautiful city, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a very, very, very forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is extremely forgiving. But when this internal aspect of the house and the external aspect of the home is lost, then this shows that what disaster, that same home that we had aspirations, that same house that we had aspirations, that same house now can become a means of ruin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْحَرِيمِ. That instead of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they turned away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْحَرِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had caused blind rats to start eating away at the foundation of that dam wall. So the intelligent people from amongst them saw that, and they already started moving out. But the rest of the people stayed there. So then what had happened was the dam wall had collapsed. Now can you imagine when the dam wall had collapsed, that same structure, architecture that was providing water for them and giving them all the beauty and the crops, When this wall had collapsed, it caused a deluge. It flooded that whole place. The whole place had become flooded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذَوَاتِ أُكُلٍ خَمْطٍ وَأَثْلٍ وَشَيْءٍ مِنْ سِدْرٍ قَلِيلٍ. The same two beds and the same two gardens that we had given them, rows of gardens that were there on the right and the left, we had changed it overnight. وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذَوَاتِ أُكُلٍ خَمْطٍ. What happened to the beautiful lush fruit and gardens they had? We had changed it now to bitter fruit, thorny bush, tamarisk. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we had given them a little bit of the low tree. So now from that fruit that they were getting before, now what they got this bitter fruit, they got this bush, they got the tamarisk, and then they got a little bit of the low tree, nothing else remained. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we had made them. We had made them ahadith wa mazzaqnahum kulla mumazzaq. That we had made them stories so that today we can be listening to their story. That we had made them a story, وَمَزَّقْنَاهُمْ كُلَّ مُمَزَّقٍ. We had torn them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. That this is a lesson for you, for who? For those people that are extremely patient and those people that make shukr. Those people that make a lot of shukr. Why? Because when a person has got even a small house, and this person endures patience in that house, and he makes sabr and he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll find such happiness in that home that that wealthy person will never find in his home. There was once we went to visit a person, and this person had just built up a very, very palatial home, beautiful home. So that person that was the rehbar that had taken us to visit him, so he just mentioned to that person that you got such a beautiful home, such a beautiful home, you had built up a house. So this person had a son that had cancer. I still remember that answer that he had given. He had a son that had cancer, and he was sitting there, and this person is praising his house, such a beautiful house he had built. His reply is, what is the benefit of such a beautiful house when you got a son that is like this terminally ill? So sometimes those external, and very often it happens, is those external factors don't bring the happiness in the house. It is the internal factors. So therefore, when it comes to the home, the more application we should be giving is to the roof of the house, the internal factors of the house. Now just to quickly bypass this, when we're looking for a house, something that we should consider is location. Location to what? Not location to the ocean, not location to the views, not location to the scenery, but location to the masjid. How close is this house of mine that I'm purchasing, I'm looking for, how close is it to the masjid? Undoubtedly, a person that happens to be staying far away from the masjid, and he's got the strength to travel 5 times a day and come to the masjid, he will be rewarded for his far travel. But many of us are weak today. If we stay far away from the masjid, we feel lazy. So the first thing a person should look for is how I can get close to the masjid. The next thing that we should look for is how close am I to madrasas so that deeni education of my children can take place. The third thing that he should look for is that environment where they could be schooled in an Islamic environment. Some type of Islamic type of schooling they can get, whether it's a homeschooling in setup or whether it's other schooling setup, but they can get some type of Islamic tarbiyat. I must look for a location that is near these three things. If I can find that, that take preference over the views, that take preference over the neighborhood, it take preference over everything else. Afterwards, a person travels once a day to work and back, but he travels 5 times a day to the masjid. He'd be intelligent if he looks for a house that is near the masjid. The next thing that we should do as far as the internal factors of the home are concerned is that a person should always impart deeni knowledge. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that ma nahala walidun waladan nahlan ahab afdala min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no person that gives a gift to his child afdala min adabin husnin, better than good akhlaq, better than good character. So there is no gift any father can give to his son afdala min adabin husnin, better than good akhlaq. There's one incident of one of our kabir. Recently this happened. So he had, his father had made two of his sons. He had made one son an alim and one son had become a professional. So here somebody came and asked him that, what did you do? He said, I gave one son for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the other allowed him to become a professional. I'm just trying to show that when deeni ilm is given, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pursue any type of education, but deeni ilm should not be sacrificed for anything. So one person asked him, what difference do you see between both your sons? So he said, wait, I'll show you. So he asked that son that was a professional, he said, bhai, bring my shoes. So that son immediately told that khadim, that worker that's working in the house, he said, jute lao, bring the shoes. So that worker brought the shoes and gave the father. And after a while, when that alim son had come there, he said, bhai, bring my shoes. He said, that son brought the shoes immediately. He brought the father's socks. He wiped the shoes off any dust. He put the socks on for the father. And then he put the shoes on for the father. And then he kissed the father's hand and he said, is there any other khidmat I can make for you? So then he tells him, this is the difference between giving dini ilm to your son, imparting dini ilm, and just imparting dunyawi ilm to your son. So this is the difference that it makes. So therefore, when we're imparting knowledge, this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma nahala walidun, no father can gift his son waladan afdala min adabin husnin, any type of gift that is greater than good akhlaq. This is what is meant. Because later on, the repercussions and the benefits of that good akhlaq is felt by the household members themselves. The next thing that is very important in a household is the amount of time that we spend with the family members. Family members spending time with each other. Unfortunately, because of the cell phone and the televisions that in our homes, this is taking away most of the time that people have for each other. One is things that bring the barakat, and there are things that snatch away the barakat. We are thinking that we are bringing the barakat in the home, but we have those things in our home that is actually snatching away the barakat. In hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that house wherein the tilawat of Quran is read, then four benefits come. The first thing is ittasa bi ahli, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates barakat in the household. The next thing that happens is وَكَثُرَ فِيهِ خَيْرٍ, a lot of goodness comes into that home. The third thing is جَاءَتُ الْمَلَائِكَ, Malaika comes into that home. The fourth thing is ذَهَبَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the shayateen leave that home. Why? Quran is being read. So these are things that bring the barakat into the home. And that home wherein Quran is not read, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tilawat of Quran is not made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, جَاءَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the shayateen come to that home. وَضَاقَ بِأَهْلِهِ, That it becomes constrained, that barakat is lost as far as the household members of that place is concerned, of that house is concerned. The next thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that the malaika leave, zahabatil malaika, the malaika leave that place, and now who comes? Shayateen come in their place. So that khair also is lost, that barakat is lost, shayateen come there, the malaika leave that place. Why? Because those things that bring barakat in that home are not there. So therefore we should try and bring tilawat in our homes. Important, very important. Tilawat of Quran also should be made where the elders, where the seniors are making and the juniors are seeing this. It shouldn't be such. Sometimes people, because they haven't learned to read Quran, so they're frightened to read loudly. Even if you may be frightened to be loudly, to read loudly, read in a place where the children at least can see us reading Quran, so that they are also encouraged to read Quran Sharif, to make tilawat of Quran Sharif. So tilawat, zikr. The third thing that is extremely important in the home is talim. That at least talim of fazaili amal, fazaili sadaqat, that these kitabs should be read, that how the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can come alive in my home. If these kitabs are read, sometimes in front of the seniors, the akabir, the ulama, a household problem will come, a marital problem, there's so much of problem in that home, with the children, with the husband, wife, and one solution they give, that start talim in that house. Just start talim in that house. Sometimes to the mind, it's mind-boggling, that such a big problem we brought to this alim and this ulama and our kabir, and they're telling us just start talim. And very often through the barakat of that talim, all those problems go away. So these are certain things we can bring into our homes. Make zikr in the home, bring talim into home, tilawat of Quran in the home, imparting knowledge in that home, dini, education to the children, and very, very important in those things that steal the barakat from that home, take it out. There's no place for televisions in our home. Unfortunately, the thing that is the biggest chore of time today is those televisions that we waste time. We brought the chore in our house and we got all the alarm systems and all the security around the homes, but that security is not preventing that chore from stealing our time in the house. It is taking away so much of our time. And the other thing is the cell phone. We should have cell-free times. We should have times in the home where nobody uses the cell phone. Even the father, even the mother don't use the cell phone as a lesson to the children. That this is things that will steal our time and steal away the barakat from our house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. These are simple things. But if we bring it into the home, the actual ruh of the house will come there. The spirit of the house will come. And that is the thing that will make the house into the home. It is not the physical structure and the beauty. It is the beauty within the home as far as the amal are concerned. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.